Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Amy Murdoch, Director of Government Affairs for the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership, and James Grunke, CEO for the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Amy, let's start with you. How did your position with Erie County prepare you for your new role at the Chamber?
So primarily my responsibilities at the county, being the county's planning director, was to really be a resource for all the 38 municipalities and help kind of craft programs and services that would provide some value to them as they're very kind of small, operating on very kind of small shoestring budgets. They need some help occasionally. And I think it's a similar approach to that work with our businesses, with our members. But not only that, but I think getting to know really what the challenges of local government are, getting to know kind of the land use development process and bringing that as a resource to our members, I think would be very valuable to them as they're either looking to expand or relocate and need some expertise and direction in navigating that work. But I think in addition to that, getting to know a little bit working with state and federal agencies, we work closely with PennDOT, with DEP, with DCNR, the alphabet soup of agencies, if you will. But because our office covered so many different areas, whether sustainability, transportation, kind of planning and land use. We had some exposure to a lot of different, I think, areas of government in that.
And Amy, could you touch on what some of your responsibilities are?
So I think it's anything from, you know, I need help filing a building permit. I don't know how to do that or where to get that done. But then also taking a deeper dive into some policy analysis. So we've looked a little bit at the governor's proposal for the severance tax and his Restore PA proposal and how that might impact our local economy. Also looking at other issues, you know, how tariffs might kind of impact our local economy. I think what is valuable in that is that we have there's a lot of resources out there that look at what are the impacts to the national economy, but we're really interested in how that it directly impacts our members and kind of our local business community.
What does bringing this role to the Chamber mean to the members of the organization and the business community as a whole?
Sure. So I think to the members, it's access to government, to elected officials, and but not just the elected officials, but the bureaucrats that work within government as well. Sometimes they're really the ones that get things done, I think, when it comes down to it. But also providing an avenue for the membership to have a good way to engage with the elected officials and then also top kind of leaders in their team and in their staff to help keep them informed on issues that are important to their business. And I think to the community, business community as a whole, getting a better sense of how policy is impacting the local economy.
Amy, is there anything else you'd like to mention about your role at the Chamber?
Sure. Just that I really look forward to working with you, working for you. Please feel free to reach me anytime. I'd love to hear anything about your business, any challenges that you may be having, policy related or not. I love the opportunity to get to know you and look forward to the work.
Thanks, Amy. James, let's bring you in here. The economic impact study. Could you tell us a little bit more about this?
Well, this is a tool we actually use a lot in economic development. We use a software that's kind of nationally recognized called Implan, and it's an input-output analysis. So we can take an industry code, which is what's the actual job, and then what their wages are, and we can use it to predict and model what that job means to the economy. And so we often use that when a company is looking to expand operations as a decision-making tool, because not all jobs are equal. Some jobs contribute more to the economy, and this is a way that we can look at what are the induced and indirect impacts of job creation. And so it's a pretty standard economic development tool, And I've always used it in the past as a positive. What happens if we add 1,700 new jobs? But we felt very much that the conversation that was happening between Wabtec and the union was not being recognized as this is a community conversation, not a labor industry conversation. So we modeled what would happen if the 1,700 union jobs left Erie or were eliminated. And we found out that every single union job at that facility creates three other jobs in our community. And that's is one of the highest multipliers that you will ever see. So again, 1,700 jobs eliminated would mean another 5,100 jobs in the community eliminated. So almost 7,000 people would lose their jobs in our community. Conversely, we'd rather say we're going to add 1,700 new jobs at the Wabtec facility and create 5,100 other new jobs in our community. That's the way that we actually like to do this. And so our intent was to be able to show decision makers and community leaders what happens if something negative happened at Wabtec. That was our intention.
From a 30,000-foot view, it sounds like the overarching investment in the report came with how to better support your members, right?
That's right. It's really it's a way to try to tell the story. But we can go down into granular detail. I could show you how spending has changed. We could show a local restaurant, this is what happens to you. We could show your family doctor, this is what happens to you. I could tell you what charitable contributions decrease or increase in the community. So it's a really valuable tool for being thoughtful in economic development.
So this is really going to allow you to have a conversation with prospective members.
It is, or even for their own business. We have ways we could model their own job growth or help them make informed decisions. That's the beauty of the joint partnership we have between the city and the county, and the chamber is funding a robust data center to help people make data-driven decisions, which is actually new to a capability in Erie.
James, can you discuss the potential impact you see and the effect on the community as a whole?
I think what surprised me was the fact that this would remove $400 million to our annual economy. This simple activity, 1,700 jobs being lost, $400 million impact. And this impacts everybody. It's not surprising that we would see the number one industry impacted would be other manufacturing or production, because they're all suppliers into that facility. But I'm a little surprised that after manufacturing, the next industry that was eliminated was in healthcare. And so this means not just your family doctor may no longer be here, but it's all across the services of healthcare. And I think that's what we were trying to do with the economic impact study, is explain the wide-ranging ramifications that every job has in our community, because I don't know that that's always understood.
Is this going to allow you to now have conversations with members that you were unable to before because of the study?
Yes, it is good for the members to know, but it also is why they are members in our organization. They may not have the ability to speak out because of afraid of what their own business impacts are, and so they rely on us to take that leadership role and explain to the community what happens. And again, as I said earlier, I much rather talk about what the new 100 jobs at Value Momentum or the 200 plus jobs at Airborne, what their impacts are versus a negative. And again, it's for us to help make informed decisions, but this is a tool that's available to any of our members now to kind of help understand what's going on in their business, and we want to be relied on that.
Amy, let's bring you back in here. What are the potential impacts that you see from this study?
Yeah, so I think it's the entire community taking pause to think about maybe my corner grocery store has to close because we no longer have the customers to support that work, or it's one less server at a restaurant that I like to go to. My favorite server, no longer has a job in Lawrence Park or in Harbor Creek Township because because the customer base just isn't there. I think that's the impact, is the whole community just taking pause to think about really how it impacts their daily lives.
Was there an outcome of the study that surprised you?
I think the number, the sheer number of industries that it that saw the effects, or where you saw jobs lost. It wasn't just in manufacturing. It wasn't just in healthcare. It was retail, restaurant, all of these kind of other industries that it impacts.
Amy, can you discuss the impact on the public sector?
So I think the earned income tax is a large portion of our municipality's budget. It's not, their tax revenue is not just real estate, but they rely also on earned income tax and a few others as well. But that's another large piece that they rely on. So for example, Harbor Creek Township, when the number of jobs at the facility in Lawrence Park were decreased, they experienced a major impact on their bottom line in their budget and had to adjust that accordingly. So I think that's something our municipal governments they're not able to provide the essential services that they need to facilitate the entire community. And we know, thinking about economies of scale, just because we lose 1,700 jobs doesn't mean we have any fewer miles of roads that need to be maintained. So that's important for them to consider as well.
Are there any other surprising outcomes or areas of concern?
So I think the other area of concern, too, is knowing that this means a total of almost 7,000 jobs that would be lost is the concern and the resources that it would needed to cover unemployment costs or workforce development costs to try to absorb those workers and try to get them back into the workforce. That's state and federal resources that are needed as well, and that would be millions of dollars needed to successfully re-enter those workers into the workforce.
James, what about you? Any other surprising outcomes or concerns?
Our ability to change the trajectory of Erie from a managed decline to a managed growth would be rippling through our economies for years to come. It would be very, very, very difficult for us to recover of this in the short term. And I think many of the efforts underway and the investment that's occurring in our community would be severely stunted as a result of this. And I feel like I'm a little bit being an alarmist, but I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to say this is an issue for all of us.
James, is it fair to say that this impacted you more than you thought?
It did. So a multiplier of 3, that's one of the highest multipliers that I've seen. You know, in economic development, if we're attracting industry that's even doing a 1.5, and so I should explain it just for a second. So what the multiplier is looking at the direct job that occurs and then jobs that are induced. So that could mean, hey, I hired 100 new welders, so the local welding supply shop has to add 4 new people. That's an induced job. And an indirect job, those 100 welders all bank at the same bank, and now they've had to bring on a new commercial loan officer, so that's an indirect job. And so to have that dramatic of a multiplier for induced and indirect jobs was surprising to me.
Will additional impact studies be done?
Yes, in fact, we do that all the time. We just don't generally publicize them. We've modeled what the impacts are with the Erie insurance expansion. We've modeled other companies that are trying to grow. We've modeled different industries that we're looking at to help us prioritize our own strategies. And so I'd say this is a pretty standard operating procedure for us. It's just generally we don't publicize it.
James, could you share a little bit about the strategy report?
So when I first came to Erie, there were two items that I said are necessary to be completed for us to be successful at economic development. First was to craft a robust economic development strategy and then raise the money to implement that strategy. And so that's underway as we speak. And secondly, parallel to that, we have to do a target market industry analysis, which is a long way of saying what companies are a good fit for Erie. What industry do we have a competitive advantage on, and then how do we take that out into the world at large and say, this is why Erie would be a good fit for your business. And that's the entire intent of a target market industry analysis. And I think before this, if you said to anybody in Erie, including myself, who are the right industries to go attract to Erie, I'd say, I don't know. I mean, there's some that kind of make sense, right? Manufacturing, but that's broad. Manufacturing what? You know, we'd say plastics, but plastics what? So we're trying to understand maybe the opportunities in a supply chain to one of our existing industries. And so the reason you do this is, and this is not just one more report, this is an action item for us. Here are the industries, this is why they make sense, and this is how you're going to go acquire them. And so it's been a very important report for us.
It sounds like you can essentially use this as a sales tool.
That's exactly its intent, because there is no company or person waking up somewhere in the United States today saying, I wonder what it's like to do business in Erie, right? Unless they have some affinity to Erie already. But we have to try to go after an industry that doesn't have an affinity, and so it's making the case. This is why we make good business sense for you to be located in Erie. We have the right workforce, we have the right training, we have the right supply, we have the right materials, whatever it may be, that's the case that we're building. So it's completely, not only go get a new food producer for Northeast, what kind of a food production and why? And then we make the case.
Based on the strategy report, what sort of recommendations are there?
Well, I think we got two really clear recommendations. Here for the first time are the industries that we should be pursuing and why. But secondly, the report also called out our deficiencies. We don't have the right availability of land and office inventory that we can attract a company. So part of is we have to understand what the competitive reality is, meaning when we're competing with other communities across the United States for the same business, how do we stack up? And this report is fairly critical and clear that we don't have any inventory to advance for companies to come here. And that's why it's really important that our partners put land and buildings back into production that we can then recruit tenants or occupants for. It came across clearly in the report, and our consultant Jay Garner likes to say, no product, no project, meaning you don't have 50 acres of industrial land available for somebody to come shovel ready, you have no project coming there. And I think Jay did a good job in identifying where the deficiencies in our system are as well. And it's not to say, oh, Erie, it's trying to say you're not on the playing field and this is what you need to do to get there.
So are you saying that the biggest takeaway is the fact that we need to be better prepared?
That is. I think that's the best takeaway. We're not prepared for success. And we're very ill-prepared for success. And it may seem contrary to people when they drive around and say, well, there's all kinds of land and buildings available. Yes, but it's not ready to go tomorrow. I mean, I can go to Dayton and I can show you hundreds of acres of commercial industrial property that's fully serviced that you can put a shovel in the ground tomorrow and start building. And I can't show that in Erie.
When it comes to the short and long-term action items, are there any specific recommendations?
So it is the roadmap to success, and some of it may or may not be controversial. Part of the reason that we're ill-prepared for success is we haven't really had the investment in economic development, which I mean, do we have inventory of land? And one of the recommendations, whether that comes to fruition or not, is a tax that's dedicated to pay for the economic development infrastructure. And again, that's water and sewer and roads and all the things that need to be done so that a business can rely on so they can move into it. So I'd say, while I'm sounding critical, it's not. This is really, these are the things we need to do so we can position ourselves. What we all want is for success. And this is just one more step to us. This was not a report to say, Erie's good, Erie's bad. This is a report to say, take these steps and you'll be successful.
James, thanks so much for joining us. In closing, if someone wanted to learn more, where could they go?
Best way to learn about this report and other things that we're doing is always to look at our website, ErieePA.com, as well as I think we do a regular business blogs that we're actually trying to talk a lot about these things. And so go to our website and you'll learn what we're up to.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at noon. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.